This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Got him. Slider. Slider ends the game. Brian Abreu pumps his chest on his first save of the year. And the Astros take 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, winning 4-1 tonight. That is a good series win against a team that swept you on the previous road trip.
Yeah, I think we're working towards that every day. I think it's a good problem to have in the sense that it's a highly competitive group, and they've shown progress across the board. So Cole and Zach have done an outstanding job with those guys. The players have worked their asses off, and I think that, you know, it's a testament to them. So we're going to continue to see who the 5 most consistent guys are, and when we see a clear separation in that, we'll make a decision on that at the appropriate time.
All right, there you go. That was Nick Caley in that last cut. The previous cut, of course, the final call on last night's game between the Red Sox and the Astros. A 4-1 win for the Astros last night. That was good to see.
Good to see you. Cora, get yourself injected.
Good to see. Seth's
get out.
Seth's fired up today. We're both fired up today.
We are in the NRG Stadium press box where the radio broadcast does their play-by-play.
You are sitting in Andre Ware's seat.
Yes.
I am sitting in Mark Vandermeer's seat.
Neither of us have binoculars because right now the field is dark except for a subtle glow about the field.
From the play clocks.
Yeah. I'm going to need the Astros media team where they do those really cool cinematic type, not the Astros, the Texans. Cinematic type things where it shows this is where it all begins.
It's like a haunted house, man. Yeah.
Everybody knew the 2025 season was going to be special.
Started
that day
here.
When Seth Payne, Sean Pendergast, and Aaron the Engineer showed up at 5:30 in the morning do a broadcast to an empty stadium.
Hey, Aaron, are those Vandy's binoculars right there? Those are your binoculars? Okay.
Aaron Raybould. I don't know why, but I was blanking on your last name for a microsecond there. Because you know why? Just like I sometimes struggle with names, I love this. Yeah. I love whenever I see that, even Major League Baseball managers don't understand the balk rules completely.
I was so happy.
I'm so happy whenever I hear, you know what, in both Blum and Sparks are both good about this too. Sometimes there'll be a little nuance in the rule book and they'll be like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're an
every man. Some of the stuff that should be simple, like exactly with a home run ball and whether it touches the line or does or bounces off and everything, sometimes those guys will admit that I'm not 100% clear on it. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
And thank God, Cora, get yourself ejected during a TV break because you don't understand the balk rules well enough.
Who would be most likely at the station to get ejected from a baseball game or any sporting event for not knowing the rules?
And then getting angry and getting adamant about it.
Yeah.
Lopez will argue. Lopez, because I know this because Lopez used to get in arguments with Nick Wright about words that were in the dictionary and had accurate. Remember, Lopez and Nick Wright were arguing about the pronunciation of biopic. Biopic.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lopez was insisting that it could be pronounced biopic.
Biopic,
which
yeah.
I honestly used to, like, I never really thought about it before. And so he, and I think it was Nick. Nick, like, opened up the dictionary or pulled it up online. It's like, no, it's biopic.
Yeah.
And Lopez would not relinquish it.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, well, that was, I was always on Team Lopez on that. Well, there was never a team. I always just said biopic.
That's how I always said
it. Yeah. And then I heard that segment and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I fact checked Nick and I said, it is biopic. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, why are they still talking about
Lopez
this?
Lopez would have brought a shovel out and dug a hole on the pitcher mound last night, insisting that it was a box. If you were Alex Cora.
Oh my God, that is the best.
So, that was fun last
Big
night.
Big win,
that
man.
A lot of fun.
Big
that was
win.
A lot of fun.
Needed that.
Hunter Brown, angry and nasty and frustrated at the beginning, which is when I get really excited. That's
too.
When I first knew that Hunter Brown was the real deal. Was his rookie year when you could see, wow, he's pitches with a lot of aggression.
He's fiery, yeah.
But sometimes that blows up in guys' faces. But just like a Roger Clemens, it's Hunter Brown's a guy that's
channel.
That's what he can. Yeah, he can channel it. Yep. And it fuels him. So I like seeing Hunter Brown angry.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the Astros in the next segment. But that was I mean, they're all big now. There's 41 games left in the season. Josh Hader seeking a second opinion on his shoulder. Which, if I'm being honest, if I were any injured Astros player, even if you feel good about the first opinion, I would still go get a second opinion.
Well, that's part of my argument I have for to try to in fuse some hope into the situation, Sean.
Which is?
I'm going to give you a pep talk there. Oh. Well, you brought it up. It's usually, I saw you on Twitter yesterday, mm-hmm. or formerly known as Twitter, as the tie saying about it's never good when somebody seeks a second opinion.
I did say that, yep.
This is the Astros where multiple times they've said, yeah, it looks to be no big deal. He should be fine. Yeah. So I could see if Josh Hader thinks, all right, I'm going to get away from your Soviet-era MRI machine or whatever whichever witch doctor they use to diagnose these things and actually go seek out somebody with modern medical technology.
When I tweeted that, I was still living in a world in my brain where we didn't even need to bring up the words benefit of the doubt when it came to a medical staff
for a baseball team. As an athlete, there were times where I just wanted to get a second opinion based on what the treatment options were.
Oh, okay.
You go and see somebody else that might have just a different, and it's not an insult to the team doctors. It's, all right, I want to go see if maybe this guy feels that it could be handled differently.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what it is with Josh Hader. Now, Joe Espada did say it's going to be longer than the 2 weeks on the IL, so that's not a great
sign. That's an awful sign.
That's not,
truth be told, he's dead in my mind.
But Brian Abreu, man, you heard in that highlight bumping in there, Brian Abreu with the save last night.
Yeah.
It's on our TV right here in the booth.
So they got a TV right on the desk.
Right here.
Mm.
And you know what? I think we can actually change the channels on
it. Fancy lads.
Yeah, yeah. So Seth and I are in the booth at NRG Stadium, and you may be asking yourselves, why are you in the booth at NRG Stadium? It's basically so that we can bring you the information that we need to from today's joint practice and not miss 30 minutes of it going to our cars and driving down Kirby and getting here at 10:30 instead of being able to run across the street and be over there by 10:05.
Yeah, they're going to start starting up at 9:30.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Nine o'clock.
So we want to be sure
we
get
stuff,
out there.
The good stuff doesn't start till like 9:45 or 10
o'clock. When they start getting into one-on-one pass rush and some of the 7-on-7s and whatnot.
Yeah.
So we should be able to see it all. A bunch of fans lined up already at 5 a.m. when we showed up.
It was cool.
I would say not a boatload of fans, but some real truly diehard ones.
Yeah. No, it's by 6 or 7 o'clock the lines are going to be long.
Now this is what you have to look forward to. I hope. And to set aside whether you feel like starters should or should not play in the preseason or what have you, after the first preseason game where the Panthers got really beat up on by the Browns and Shedeur Sanders, they said that Bryce Young would probably play three series
in
this game.
On Saturday,
and I think the defensive starters likewise are probably going to play three series, so or at least that's what their tentative plan is.
Yep.
So you know, maybe D'Amico has a talk with Canales, the coach of the Panthers, and figures, okay, yeah, we'll send our guys out there for three, get some good work in the games.
What do you want to see?
These are the things that can be learned, perhaps, is one, I want to see C.J. Stroud versus a Panthers defense that's been bolstered by some free agency acquisitions, but you have to remember, this Panthers defense last year, This was not your father's Panthers defense. This was one of the worst scoring defenses in the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. It was really, really bad. They went out and got a bunch of free agents. They should be at least a little bit better. They've got the same defensive coordinator as Ejiro. The guy, former Texans
head, Ivero,
former Texans head coaching interviewee,
former interviewee of everybody. Remember,
yeah,
he was a hot candidate back in the day.
Yeah, so if one of the excuses or explanations that we've been telling ourselves is all right, the starting offense they're installing, it's new, and they're going against these psychotic maniacs on the Texans defense. There's going to be some hiccups. It's going to be difficult. This Panthers defense is a horrible defense until they prove otherwise. And that's where I hope to see a different version of this offense. We've seen the offense in that scrimmage situation Thursday before the first preseason game look a lot better than they had before, mm-hmm. when they kind of game planned a little bit for how to attack the defense. So I just want to see a better offense, obviously. And then along the offensive line, too, there are lots of questions to be had. Bobby Brown is the nose tackle that the Panthers signed, like a 3-year, $27 million deal. Yeah. So, and they run a 3-4 front, the Panthers do. So that interior offensive line, hopefully will get some good challenges versus the starters by the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Ariante Ursary hopefully does some good things. To continue to build on what he did. But the defense for the Panthers, again, until proven otherwise, it's not the stoutest bunch.
Yeah.
And now this is something really side note. Shedeur Sanders versus this, I've just told you how bad the Panthers defense is.
Yeah.
Shedeur Sanders didn't do anything versus the starters.
Right, he did all that damage against the backups.
And then he went up to the backups to the worst scoring defense in the history of the NFL. So I don't want to... Look, if Shedeur Sanders can shred this defense, by all means, I need to see Davis Mills and C.J. Stroud and everybody else shred this defense.
Do you see Shedeur is injured now? Did you see that bit of news?
Is every single Browns quarterback injured now?
Ironically, I said that to Amy last night. I said the only healthy Browns quarterback is 40-year-old Joe Flacco. The one guy who's the age where he should be probably tough to get out of bed.
The other thing I want to see is I just want to see the Texans defense make Bryce Young look really bad.
Yeah, me too.
That's all I want.
Me too.
And it's hard because you have to acknowledge that, wow, I'm kind of a jerk because Bryce Young seems like he's innocent and pure and mm-hmm. does all the right things except grow tall enough and maybe fill out a little bit. He could probably
grow facial hair that looks fake.
Yeah.
It doesn't look real on him.
Yeah, because he looks like one of the kids standing outside a convenience store asking hobos to buy him beer,
That's right.
Hey, mister, would you... Gotta buy a 12-pack of Heineken's.
Can I get some wine coolers?
Do you have wine coolers? Yeah, that's what it would
thing
be
back
for
in
sure.
The day.
Hey, sir, do you know what Zima is?
Yeah, Zima.
I'd like some Zima, please.
Zima had its day in the sun.
So that's his only fault, is that he didn't keep growing tall enough. Yep. Nobody told him. He didn't have the guidance to say, hey, grow another few inches.
That's right. That's right.
But look, there's not much of a raging debate right now, but people would point out, hey, Bryce Young, when he came back from being benched last year, mm-hmm. played better, had better numbers than CJ in a lot of regards. So that's still a battle that I don't think Bryce Young or CJ Stroud actually care about themselves, but that I'm invested in.
Yeah, I've been invested in it since the day they drafted CJ Stroud. Having watched Bryce Young for most of the last 2 years kind of floundering around out there.
I kind of read a bunch of Panthers stuff yesterday, listened to a couple of Panthers podcasts.
Oh, yeah?
And I think, I love to gauge how a player's doing I think the sum total of the fan and media give a pretty good picture of quarterbacks especially, I think. And you usually expect them to be a little bit biased towards no, he's actually really good. Man, I heard a few different people who sounded like they were smart enough say, hey, Bryce, I don't, he's never going to be one of those top-tier guys, maybe he could work his way into Mike Sando's tier two if everything else around him is just right.
Boy.
So it seems to be the goal and the ceiling for Bryce Young is that, hey, maybe he can actually not botch the whole operation.
Then they are going to have decisions to make after this season if that's the case. Yeah.
The offense, they bolstered the offensive line. And that's another thing I'd like to see, that I'm not concerned about the Texans' defense, but they've got some good offensive linemen.
Yep.
And it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch those guys battle versus the Texans front.
All right, we're off and running on a Thursday. We're live in the broadcast booth at NRG Stadium. Joint practice starts at 9 a.m. today between the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans. We'll talk more about that as we roll on this morning. We'll do some headlines later on this hour. Let's circle back to the Astros, though. Knowing what we know now about the Josh Hader situation, knowing what we know and maybe what we don't know about some of the other injuries here, I think last night gave us the template, and I'll explain. We'll do that coming up next.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Guiner, the difference in the game with his RBI single in the first inning. As he drills one high and deep to left field, all the way back and gone! Guiner Diaz, a two-run home run with two outs in the sixth. And the Astros now up 4-1.
Oh, out here with the folks. I need me a Guiner bomb, and I got it!
Sorry, Blummer. Didn't mean to step on the metaphor.
Trademark Yiner bomb.
That's right. That was Todd Callis and Jeff Blum, Space City Home Network last night. The Astros get a win 4-1 over the Boston Red Sox. And Seth, look, this is a team that still has half their starting rotation kind of coming back off the IL. They've lost their closer, at least for the foreseeable future. We're waiting on Yordan Alvarez to come back. We're waiting on Jake Meyers to come back. And they're in a dogfight for their division right now. Now, the Orioles did the Astros a favor last night. The red-hot Seattle Mariners lost to the Orioles 4-3 on a walk-off in the bottom of the ninth. Amy and I were driving home last night from our fantasy football draft, and we're listening to the Astros post-game broadcast, and Ross was on there, and he's following along with the Seattle-Baltimore game while doing the Astros post-game. The Astros had already won, and the Orioles are up 3-1 going into the ninth inning, and then next thing you know, the Mariners have two guys on with nobody out. Yeah. It's like, oh, and they end up tying up the game 3-3, and the Orioles walk it off in the bottom of the ninth. So that was good to see. The Orioles are not a good baseball team, so any favors you can get from them like that, and hopefully they revert back to their crappy selves this weekend, because the Astros, and really for the next couple of weeks, because the Astros play them twice over the next couple of weeks. The way they won this game last night, though, I thought it had a lot of the elements for what I think, if they're going to stay in this thing while they're still trying to get guys back here, and even the guys they've gotten back in the rotation, get them back to where they're in peak form. Because I think we're still watching Spencer Arrighetti and Christian Javier shake off some MLB rust, at least.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so I think, like, last night's game, Yiner is starting to hit again. He gives you a big two-run home run to give you a little bit of margin between you and the Red Sox. Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez being themselves is non-negotiable over the next month.
Yes.
They have to be themselves, and Brian Abreu has to do what he did last night, which was, even with a bit of a tightrope, put a couple guys on, close the game out.
As you're talking there, as you've sat both of those starting pitchers down in a room to give them a chat about how important it is that they be themselves, Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez.
Yes.
It's one of those things where you're yelling at both of them, but you're really talking to Framber. Hey, Hunter's sitting there like, all right, I'm just going to be a good teammate. I'm going to point out that I've allowed two runs in the last total in the last two games versus the Red Sox.
Definitely feels like a situation you've been in as a player.
the manager is saying, I'm going to yell at both these guys so the one guy that really needs to be yelled at doesn't feel singled out.
He's yelling at you, Gary Walker, just so you know.
He pulls Hunter Brown off to the side before him. You're like, hey, listen, man, I'm just going to tear you. You know, I got to, you know.
Play along.
Play along with it.
But
they say something like, okay, Skip.
And they would. They'd call him Skip. But I think last night in watching that game, I'm like, this is how it needs to be. Like, those two guys are going to take the ball, each of them, every 5 or 6 days. They've got whatever the best version of them has been. You know, I think in June, I mean, Hunter was literally the best pitcher in the American League in June. He was named as such by the media. He was pitcher of the month. I think it was June.
He's still got the second lowest ERA in the AL.
Yeah, that shows you how good he was to start the year, because he went through about a 2 or 3 week period there where it wasn't all that great right around the All-Star break. So, and then Framber, that stretch where they won 13 in a row with him starting all those games, and he himself won 10 of those games. That's the version they have to get. I mean, if they had a 6-game lead, I wouldn't be saying that. But you got a 1-game lead. Seattle, I feel like this is the best version of the Mariners that the Astros have had to battle against over these last few years, where the Mariners have risen up into being at least somewhat relevant. The Rangers are fading a little bit. Philip Maton did us a favor last night. I guess he's on the Rangers these days. Gave up 4 runs last night late in the game. So it's the Astros and the Mariners here, and let's go. And they're up by a game, and they got a day off today.
And it's the other day you had a bullpen meltdown. The other day, 2 days ago, you had a bullpen meltdown where you have two relievers allow 10 runs.
Yep.
That's going to happen. By and large, the Astros this year, where they've been walking this tightrope at times, it's how good is your starting pitcher? And that to overly simplify it, they're good enough. They're good enough offensively. I think they've been bolstered at the trade deadline. I mean, Urias, for one, is just he's a Red Sox killer, which was a nice thing to learn.
We like seeing
after
that,
you
yeah.
trade for him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Correa. There's really something to the potential that him moving to third is going to be an infusion of energy into his offensive performance. Because Chandler Rome had a really good article with him the other day talking about the difference in exertion and how beat up his body is at playing shortstop versus at third base.
And
he wasn't, you know, he wasn't good defensively this year as a shortstop.
No.
Like, it was really age and size and everything else is really starting to take its
minus toll. 11 defensive runs saved.
That's
really bad.
I mean, it wasn't anything like that old best defensive player in the league stuff that you expect out of Correa. Third base is a lot less physically taxing.
And he's looked good, and
he's still learning it, you know. This is where in that article with Chandler, it's something that I've told you about pass rushing in the NFL and sports in general. YouTube has changed everything. Because when Correa realized he was going to play third base, he said he went to YouTube. And he started watching Chapman,
Machado, and there was a third one. I can't remember who it is, but it was none of them were Bregman. I was a little surprised. I was kind of like, this is your former teammate there. Gold Glover. Gold Glove third base, maybe Bregman.
I'm guessing that has something to do with, everything's going to be a little bit different because Correa is so tall. And
that was
the one
true.
Point that he made was that, Bregman being so short, maybe he didn't want to. Maybe he just figured a lot of it wouldn't apply.
Yeah. I'm trying to find who the other third baseman was. It's going to bother me. Anyways.
Probably something.
I'll find it during the break. It's the audience may not care. Here was Joe Espada talking about the back end of the bullpen last night, because it wasn't just Brian Abreu, who gave up a couple of hits, but eventually shut things down. I would imagine it's probably like he's coming in. In a true save situation, because he's come in those before, but a true save situation where you're like, okay, I'm the guy now. I'm going to be the guy for at least for at least a period that is longer than 2 weeks. That's all we know right now. All we know is Josh Hader is getting a second opinion on his shoulder. Here was Joe Espada on Bennett Sousa and Brian Abreu last night.
Bennett Sousa's slider today was lights out. He got Bregy, who's a really good hitter, right, and Trevor Story, and creating swing and miss on those sliders. You can tell they looked like fastballs out of his hands and then finishing down under. And then Abreu, gave up those two singles, and then he got really pissed off. And then you start seeing 100 and 101, and he got angry.
Yeah.
Nolan Arenado was the other third baseman Correa has been watching on YouTube.
I'm not allowed to say his name because it too quickly turns into Areola for me. So and then we go down a path and we get listeners complaining about it.
I love that the word you're uncomfortable saying, you just said, that's...
No, I don't want to get too... I don't want to end up getting veered off course too much.
I got you.
But I love saying Nolan Areola.
Yeah.
Which is not a dirty... Look, men have them, women have them. Yeah. Like, all right, listen, everybody, don't just... I'm sorry if you have to give your kids an anatomy lesson about something on their own body,
that's
all right?
Right. Yeah. That's right.
You're the weird one if you think there's something weird about it.
Yep.
But let's talk about Areolas for a while. See, this is why I didn't want to say it, Sean.
I know. Well, you're the one who said it.
Nolan Arenado. But as far as Correa goes, it is super interesting to me how much kids learn... I say kids, but like Correa is doing the same thing that high school kids do with pitchers, with pass rushing, with everything else.
He's closer to that generation than our generation.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, remember him and his wife putting that when he had the massage issue? That's how he clarified it. They put out a YouTube video. And it's funny, too.
One of the most awkward videos I've ever watched.
Talk about a generation gap, though. I remember having a discussion with somebody who'd gone to Syracuse Broadcasting School about just the jump cuts and everything and how it just wasn't edited well and everything. I'm like, man, that's how they do it on YouTube.
They don't
care about it.
Yeah, people like
you don't
the
try
jump
to disguise
cuts.
The cuts.
People like the jump cuts.
But yeah, Correa still learning how to play third base, and he's made some great plays, but he's also had a couple little flubs where you see it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown getting angry at himself and then fueling. Like using it to fuel like a 101 mile per hour fastball and everything. That's exactly what the fans want to see. It's good for the team.
Yeah.
You remember back when in 2017, one of the turning points really to where, oh my gosh, might be a really good team was when it was the Yankees, right? Yeah. It was when Hinch got into it with the manager of the Yankees, and there was kind of a turning point to where almost it felt like, all right, we're not boys anymore.
Girardi at
it was
time,
Girardi and
yeah.
Hinch, and Girardi afterwards was like, I don't know why he was yelling at me.
Yeah.
Every now and then you got to remember they're like, all right, this is testosterone. This is anger. This is some gut emotion.
You're talking about it with Hunter, but I think just to circle back to Carlos, I think that's a big reason why. I think that's a big reason why maybe like if another team were to trade for Carlos, I don't know that – I'm trying to word this properly. Like, I think there's something about Carlos in an Astros uniform, and I think there's something about what this team needed in terms of an edge that the value of Carlos Correa to the Astros is just more than it would have been to some other team. I think Minnesota kind of found that out. Like, I think there's something about this Astros uniform and Carlos Correa that brings out the best version of him, and I think that's a big reason why Jim Crane was ready to say, okay, we'll plunk down the $67 million or whatever it is to have him for the next 3 years, because we are almost positive that him being back in our ecosystem is going to yield a better version of him than whatever was going on in Minnesota.
Sean, I'll go one further than that, though, too. Correa had said that in Minnesota they'd been having discussions about him moving to third base, but they just couldn't find an adequate replacement.
Yeah.
If I'm in Minnesota right now and still paying attention to baseball, I'm going to look at what's going on with Correa, and if he continues to play offensively like he has after apparently the organization, remember, traded for him, trading for a guy that had some injury signing a guy who had some injury questions and was a bigger guy at shortstop. And from the very time Correa came up, we were having discussions about, all right, he's probably not going to finish his career at shortstop. Mm-hmm. That is a big dude to be playing shortstop. Yeah. And I remember talking to Lance McCullers had said that, he might, one day want to move to the outfield or something. So this is something Minnesota should have anticipated and been ahead of. If Correa ends up being more of the offensive player that's peak Correa, and all it took was a
move to third base.
The easy thing is to say, oh, well, yeah, he's back in Houston. He likes that. Yeah. It makes more actual sense to say, oh, no, you gave his body a break by moving him to third, and yep. look at what you have.
Yeah.
Like, and then they're still paying part of his salary.
Yep.
They could have, like, they might have squandered this version of Correa simply because they couldn't figure out a way to make the move to third base.
Well, this is what you get when, and this is not me throwing my WWE heel Minnesota shade. It's just factual. Minnesota is a tier of a team where they're just happy to get a guy like Carlos Correa in the building.
Yeah.
They're happy that he said yes twice. And they were so happy for him to say yes the second time that they completely ignored the fact that he had tried to sign with two other teams before going back to Minnesota.
Yeah.
He tried to sign with the Giants. They looked at the MRIs and said, no thanks. And the Mets did the same exact thing. And they said, sure, here's $200 million to come back. I think that's the fact of the matter. That's not me being a jerk to Minnesota.
No.
They are on a tier of team where it's hard to convince superstars to come play there.
Minnesota was like if a married couple said, you know what, maybe we need to take some time and just think about it, just take some time apart. And then immediately the first day, the woman's got like seven dates set up with seven guys that she's been platonic friends with for a while. Yeah. And she's like, okay, off I go. And then it doesn't work out with those guys. So she comes back like, honey, I've thought about it and I love you so much.
Okay.
That's Minnesota. My car back now?
Okay. Come on back. I turned down the sheets to the bed. Your space is still right there.
Correa, since he's been with Houston, the 364 batting average, 974 OPS.
He's under 1,000 now?
Yeah, he's 974.
He's trash. He's under 1,000. He was 1098 a couple days ago. All right. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Here live, we're in NRG Stadium. We're up in the Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, Robert Hensley, and Aaron Raybould broadcast booth. That's the squad that's in here on game day. So we're here so we can just sprint across the street to joint practice and bring you guys our observations later on today.
I like this. It feels like back in my playing day, I was usually one of the first guys in the building, you know, and it was dark, it was nice.
There's a peacefulness to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Dan Riley and I would do a 5 a.m. workout. And
did you do it out here on the field?
No, in the weight room. Oh, okay. In the weight room. But there was, and Dan Riley loved it because he's that guy.
He had some company.
Yeah. Dan Riley would be here at 3:30 a.m. if I wanted him to be. Dan Riley, the strength coach, has some great stories about John Riggins and how, like, Riggins would, like, you know, back in the day, there was basically a keg on the back of the plane.
Yeah,
John
Riggins is like, dude, lifting
John Riggins
with a
cigarette. Was a man's man. Yeah. No, he would come in. He'd, like, there were times he said, Riggins would be working out in nothing but a jock strap at 1 a.m. after they got back from a road trip.
Yep. All right. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you as we roll on here on a Thursday. All right, let's get to some headlines. D'Amico Ryans sets up what's going to be going on out here today at joint practice. We will circle back to the Astros. We got some NFL injury news as well that we will get to. We'll do all that in headlines coming up next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's start with the Houston Texans. We'll get to the Astros in a moment. Texans have a joint practice today with the Carolina Panthers. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the protocols that they have put in place. That's what the cut reads. It's protocols for today's practice.
There's more to this. Yes.
For today's practice with the Carolina Panthers.
When you have a joint practice, the main protocol is, you know, just keeping each other safe, understanding that we're here to work together and make each other better. We're not here to get in shoving contests or fights or anything like that. That's unproductive. So, and my message to Dave and his team is just we want to come out and get good work in and make sure we're getting productive work, making sure we're staying up just like we practice. So, and I think when we got teams and coaches that have the similar mindset, then you can get productive work. We've done it for the past 2 years with the Dolphins, with the Rams, and I thought we got really productive work out of that, so I expect it to be the same.
You gotta listen.
What got you all fired up there?
Xavier Legette getting kicked out of the preseason game with Rayshon Jenkins,
and he was swinging with UFC fighter form on that fight too.
They kept now. This is something to remember. They're really working on those guys blocking everybody, receivers, everybody else. So for those of you who remember, Xavier Legette. Incredibly charming and likable.
Charming is the word.
Indecipherable speech patterns. To everybody on the Panthers, except for apparently Adam Thielen. Nobody can understand him. He's so country that nobody can understand him, except, oddly enough, Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen, the whitest guy on the team.
One of the biggest surprises of that,
Fluid Ligatese.
Nobody can understand him in the wide receivers room because he's so country, and it's so endearing and so charming.
Yeah.
He got into it because he was blocking until the echo of the whistle in the preseason game, and Rayshon Jenkins kept it. They stayed tied up, and they ended up. Yeah.
Well, they were swinging.
Xavier Legette just started swinging.
Swinging.
At a guy that was wearing a helmet on his head. So he landed the punches, but whatever. We'll play the audio of him explaining that or apologizing for that.
Oh,
later.
I sent it to you. You did. You sent it to me during my fantasy draft last night.
Oh, that's I apologize.
That's okay. No. I apologize.
You and I were both had challenges last night.
We did.
Is there going to be chippiness? I think there will be. I think CJ Gardner-Johnson not being available.
Yeah.
It increases the odds of this practice going to its completion
by about
75%.
No, now that you bring that up, that bums me out. I'm really bummed out we're not going to get, I would assume, C.J. Gardner-Johnson for the Lions practices next week.
Because
that's his former team.
That's his former team.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
And he's kind
of used to get kicked out of those practices when he was on the team.
He's gotten kicked out of his own team's practices for playing too physical. So, Sean and I are at the stadium. The sun is coming up, so we're starting to. It was completely dark when we got here.
I miss the peacefulness of the complete darkness that we walked into.
I'm kind of freaked out because I know with my voice and the way that it carries.
Oh yeah.
That anybody in this stadium right now, whether they're cleaning bleachers or not, can hear me through this open window of
for sure. Yeah. But it's nice being out here, man. We'll be over there across the street a little later on this morning. And if you're heading out this way, know that if you're heading out this way, Seth and I got here at 5:30 this morning. There are people lined up outside the practice facility.
I yelled at him for standing in my way. It's like, I'm Seth Payne.
Yeah, damn it.
Clear out.
Mm-hmm. Move.
I didn't do that. I did almost hit one of them, but it wasn't intentional.
So we got the walkthrough, or not the walkthrough, but we have the joint practice today. Game on Saturday, noon kick. You got me and Seth at 9 a.m. for Texans Countdown. It'll be a live one here at the stadium.
Seth and me,
whatever. hey, one other quick Texans note. The Chronicle, or no, it wasn't the Chronicle. I think it was Aaron Wilson, KPRC 2. Andre Johnson, among the things that were burgled from his house was his Hall of Fame ring. Oh. So remember that video dropped of Lil Kiki talking about, hey, Houston, we got to, you know, we got to rally for Andre Johnson. And he didn't specify what the things that were stolen were, but said these are things that are beyond money. And his Hall of Fame ring was one of the things that was stolen.
Whenever they recover this, at some point they will. Remember, Mike Vrabel was burgled back in the day. And
three
they ended
Super Bowl
up,
rings.
And they end up recovering them somehow. Yeah. It'll come through. It's hard to, because usually the guy that's dumb enough to pull off the heist then goes and does something stupid, like, or yeah, or tries to sell it on eBay or something.
Yeah,
so it's, and it's kind of a unique item.
Yeah.
So this, I think part of the punishment should be kind of like at the end of Inglourious Bastards, where the one villain there gets, he gets a pardon from the government.
Yeah.
So Brad Pitt says, all right, you might not be in jail, but I'm gonna carve a swastika into your head so people know.
Yeah.
I think that Andre Johnson should be allowed to put on the Hall of Fame ring.
Yep.
Punch the dude in the forehead,
yep,
and then have that tattooed on the guy's head for the rest
I
of his
life.
That.
I love that. That is a great... Boy, you are good. That is a... Commissioner, that is a great punishment right there.
Sociopathic,
I like that.
Some would say, but whatever.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm with you on that. All right, the Astros, they went 4-1 last night. This was, I think... This was, to me, as kind of cookie-cutter as it's going to need to look for the Astros for the foreseeable future with no Josh Hader. Brian Abreu comes in and gets a save with this team kind of still piecing together the rotation with guys that are coming off of IL, shaking off rust. You get Hunter Brown, your all-star, giving you 6 2/3 really, really good innings last night. And you get some big swings from guys. You know, Jeremy Pena, Yainer Diaz gives you a big two-run home run. It really feels like Christian Walker and Yainer Diaz, who were the two guys, I feel like, of the regulars. Because it's hard to blame the Cooper Hummels and the Taylor Trammells of the world for having a 650 OPS.
Right.
That's why they're in the minor leagues. But throughout the first 3 months of the season, it's like, okay, you're not supposed to have a 600 OPS. And you, sir, Mr. Diaz and Mr. Walker, you guys are not supposed to. They are both starting to hit.
Yes.
And if this is just them getting back to what they're supposed to be, man, if you can just get a good version of Yordan Alvarez to plunk in the middle of this lineup, and now you've got connective tissue going on in spots almost like 1-7 right now in terms of just having not just viable, but like plus level big league hitters in this lineup.
Well, and you know, Yiner's been in a spot where he's been relatively, you know, consistently not as bad as he was in the first season. The whole season long, it's just it was never enough to really lift him up out of his season totals.
Yeah.
You know, May he was a 795 OPS. Mm-hmm. June he was a 658 OPS, but wasn't nearly like he was early on in the season. Then July he picked it back up again. It was above average hitter. So it's Yiner. It's been more. It's you don't quite trust it necessarily, and he goes through these little droughts, but. His
power numbers are still decent.
Right,
he's on pace to hit like 20-something home runs.
Right, and that's the thing. I think it's the first month of the season was so bad that some of the good things that he's done and some of the consistency has kind of been lost in the wash.
Yeah.
I mean, as a catcher, there's things that I wish he did better. But
that's just how it's going to be.
For me right now, the biggest variable that I'm most concerned about is, all right, I just with Fromber, hopefully this is just a little bit of a blip on the radar. We've seen him pull himself out of funks like this before, and he'll be just fine. Because, truth, you get into a series, especially a three-game series, if you're going to have two awesome starting pitching performances, you got enough on the rest of this team to make up the difference for anything else.
Yeah, I mean, Fromber and Hunter be the hammers they are, and if the other four guys in the rotation, if two of them are good and two of them, you're gonna have to go score six runs that day, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that might be good enough. So we'll see. So the Astros, when they're off today, and then they got the Orioles this weekend. Shedeur Sanders held out of team drills yesterday with an oblique strain, and that is one of the. We have ESPN on the TV here in the broadcast booth. Seth and I are inside NRG Stadium doing the show this morning. And I don't know that there's been a fifth-round pick that's been the lead story in training camp more than Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, yeah, that's...
You brought up Tim Tebow, and I was this morning. That's a great... there's a definite Tim Tebow.
There's a Tim Tebow element here where it's a little bit of a crossover hit and that a lot of people are kind of entrenched and ingrained in their opinions.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, that's what they're going to be stuck with. I really,
they're bummed in Cleveland right now.
I would love to watch...
That.
You know, when we talked to James Palmer the other day, I thought it was interesting and probably... The way the Browns should be feeling. James Palmer said that the Browns organization probably doesn't feel the same way about Shedeur Sanders that the fan base
does
right now.
Yeah.
And there's a Houston angle to this in that Shadur did that versus the backups of the Panthers defense. He didn't do much against the starters. And I'm not saying that. Look, I wouldn't I don't expect any rookie quarterback or anybody necessarily. But the Panthers defense last year was the worst scoring defense in the history of football. And versus the backups for the Panthers, yeah, he did some really good things. But it's the preseason, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I would like for it to work out for Shadur. And yet at the same time, I'm dreading the people that are going to act like Shadur is getting a raw deal no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Because he's still in a pretty bad situation just because of the team and organization he's on. And then also, he's still a rookie quarterback that needs to develop in advance in a lot of ways. There's a reason. The reason Dylan Gabriel is ahead of him on the depth chart, it's not because the GM is trying to save his own ego because Dylan Gabriel was drafted higher.
I was listening to Cleveland radio on the way in because I wanted to see what they were saying about Shadur. And Ross Tucker is at their training camp because they're joint practicing with the Eagles.
Yeah.
And our friend Ross Tucker does the preseason games for the Eagles. So they had him on their afternoon show yesterday, and they were playing cuts of it in the morning show today. And the ones about Dylan Gabriel were hysterical because he's like, they're running these play actions with Dylan Gabriel, these rollouts, and just nobody's open. And he was having a hard time fathoming why Dylan Gabriel was ahead of Shadur Sanders in the first place.
Right, right. And that might not be the right decision, but I think that a lot of the good stuff that Shadur has done in camp up there has been when he's running with the twos, and Dylan Gabriel's gotten a lot more time with the ones.
Yeah.
So there's at least one reason that it hasn't looked as good statistically or what have you.
Okay, we got a busy 7 o'clock hour. I interviewed Laken Tomlinson yesterday.
Yes.
We're gonna play that at 7:20 ish.
He's a delightful man.
He is awesome. He was so cool, man. Texans left guard Laken Tomlinson.
I know that's exactly what the fans want to hear. Hey, tell me about this new offensive guard.
He's so cool.
He's delightful.
He was so pleasant. He talked to me for 15 minutes afterwards. But he was delightful. He was great. You'll enjoy the interview. I promise that. I asked my Jamaica questions to him, so we'll get to that. Best case and worst case, ESPN did ceiling and floor for all 32 NFL teams. Are we buying these as the ceiling and floor for the Texans? And are we buying the ones inside the division as well that they have? This is a head scratcher yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.